So how many of you noticed that the mind wandered? So as I said earlier, that's actually an insight to recognize that, to see it clearly for what it is. So that's probably one of the first things we notice when we sit down to meditate, that the mind is basically out of control. The momentum of habit carries us away from the present moment. And we're at the mercy of these habits unless we can see them. These habits tend to cause a lot of difficulty for us and suffering for us in our lives. The practice of meditation helps to cut those habits by redirecting the mind back to something more neutral, like the breathing. But there's no need to judge yourself for these habits. As you can see, it's universal. So it's important to be compassionate and to just recognize, yep, that's what's happening. In fact, as soon as you notice that you're not paying attention to the breath anymore, that's a moment of mindfulness. You know what's happening while it's happening. I'm not paying attention to the breath. That's a moment of mindfulness. Be happy for that moment of mindfulness. There's no need to judge yourself or beat yourself up, because actually in that moment, you're awake. So just let yourself redirect your attention with that awareness. Let yourself redirect your attention back to the breathing in that moment. So it's best not to have some idea about what should be happening or what might be happening, and to try to measure how the meditation is progressing. In most cases, for most people, there's a very slow progress over time. It's not something that we get in 15 minutes of sitting. It's something that happens over the course of time. So I'd like to find out what happened to you in that time. Anybody? Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you know, when we close our eyes and don't focus on anything, the mind says, oh, time to go to sleep. Yep, that's very, very common. There are several things you can do with that. Next week I'll talk about it a little more, but a couple of very simple things. You can open your eyes. It's very helpful if you're sleepy just to open your eyes. It can bring some alertness back in. If you're really sleepy, look up at light. Let some light come in to your field of vision. You can pull on your ears. That's actually one of the things the Buddha recommended. Yeah, I find it actually helps while I'm doing it. It really wakes me up while I'm doing it. But maybe. You know, I never noticed or thought about that connection. Also, another thing you can do if you're really sleepy is stand. You can let yourself stand and meditate in the standing posture. It used to be that the teacher said, no one has ever fallen asleep while standing meditating. But now I've heard them say, well, there's been one story of somebody actually falling asleep while standing. So it's apparently possible. But in general, it's quite difficult to fall asleep while you're standing. So that's another option. If you're very sleepy, you can stand. And it's fine with me if you change your posture in the course of the meditation or during the class. If you're sitting on the floor and feel like you need to go to a chair, that's fine. If you need to stand, that's fine. So those are a couple of simple things you can do with sleepiness. I'll talk about some others next week. Anything else? Anybody wants to? Yeah.
Are there any hazards associated with your legs falling asleep?
It depends on how the leg is falling asleep. If it's the normal kind of blood circulation cut off, where you can tell the leg is going numb because the blood circulation has been cut off. But the periods of time we're meditating, anywhere up to like 45 minutes, it's not usually a problem. you know, your leg will be numb. You know, you'll have to shake it out, and you know, you have that kind of pins and needles sensation. But if it doesn't go away in a couple of minutes, it probably means you've been pressing on a nerve. So if it takes more than a couple of minutes for that numbness to go away, or if you feel kind of a differential sensation in your leg, like this is something that happened to me when I was sitting cross-legged, I would feel the bottom of my foot go numb, but the rest of my leg wouldn't, you know, so it was pretty clear there was some nerve thing going on. And if there's something going on with the nerve, you probably want to adjust your posture. So it can take a little while to figure it out. If it's not painful, try to sit with it and see what happens. You know, often the body will kind of relax and it will allow blood to flow after a time if it's the normal kind of blood circulation. You know, the muscles relax and then the blood returns to circulation so that it's okay. But if you find that you're noticing this kind of numbness that I'm describing that doesn't go away, try something else. Try maybe something for me that was a problem was pressure right here. The sciatic nerve runs right here. And pressure on the sciatic nerve can cause that kind of numbness. So there's a couple of different things you can try. These kind of cushions, I find these round ones tend to be about the worst for that kind of problem. These crescent-shaped ones are good because it distributes the weight a little more evenly. Or something a little narrower, like sitting on it this way so that there's not so much pressure. Or potentially putting something to elevate your butt a little bit so there's not quite so much pressure in that spot. So experiment with it and see what happens. Yeah.
Knees lower than butt.
Knees not higher than the butt, so equal or lower. Anybody else willing to share what happened to them during this time? Yeah. That's great. Yeah, a lot of times, you know, these pains that we assume are going to be solid and lasting, they do disappear. So it's great. You didn't end up with any kind of numbness or anything. It didn't. It was. It just seemed to have let go. Great. I'm glad that that helped. I'm sorry about the pain in the lower back. How about anything anybody noticed in the in what their mind was doing? Yeah. Yep. You know, it's sometimes helpful to notice those tendencies. I mean, if we're remembering a lot, it's helpful. I mean, you may find that that's something you do a lot of, or it may be that it's just today, and maybe you find you're actually planning more than remembering. But to get a general sense of what the mind is doing, is it remembering? Is it planning? Is it judging? Is it constructing a fantasy, some happy place to be other than here, sitting on this cushion? There can be some habits and patterns that we fall into over and over again, and it's helpful to notice what those patterns are. Thank you. Yeah.
I was distracted by various sounds. I paid attention to breathing, and then I
just. Next week we'll talk about actually incorporating the hearing into the practice. So yeah, for now it's kind of like a thought. If you can, if you notice that you're pulled into the sound, as much as possible, just let go and come back to the breathing. And next week we'll talk about actually directing your attention to the hearing. But see if you can just It sounds like you did. You just let go and come back. But it's helpful to know that it's not necessarily a distraction to have sounds. We'll actually pay attention to them.
Find that paying attention to my breathing changes my breathing. I tend to breathe deeper. Particularly if I'm labeling it or something like that, things tend to get drawn out more.
When you do the labeling, it gets drawn out more. So what he said, in case everybody didn't hear, is that when he pays attention to the breathing, it changes the breathing. And this is a good thing to notice. It's true. When we pay attention to the breathing, it can tend to relax us, and the breathing can it can change in many ways. I find that initially, often the breathing gets more relaxed and withdrawn or drawn out, that it's a longer breath. And then after some period of time, suddenly it turns into these little really short breaths. You know, so there's no right way, and the mind and the breathing will interact, and just noticing how they interact is the key. So that's great that you noticed that. Did you notice any different kinds of sensations?
I noticed my throat tends to dry out because there's more air. Mm-hmm.
So you're paying attention here.
I feel it here in my chest.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I don't really hear what you were saying once we started doing meditation. You know?
Oh, I'm sorry. I will try to fix that the next time. So, were you falling forward or feeling like you were pulled forward?
It was like swaying movement kind, and I was not sleepy, and yet I had to really pay attention to keep it straight, because it's not like just falling or anything, but it's more like swaying.
Well, if you're swaying, I mean, if the body is swaying, it's not necessary actually to force it to stay still. I mean, as long as you're relaxed, I mean, there can be times when the body will just kind of want to do this kind of swaying thing.
Kind of awkward for me.
Did it feel like it was out of balance, like you were falling? Okay, then one of the things you can try is initially you can start on your cushion and just sway this way, you know, kind of do arcs and make them smaller and smaller until you finally kind of find a place where it's balanced. And then you can do the same thing front to back, like that, and see if you can find a balanced place. If you find some way that you tend to fall, you know, like if you're usually swaying that way, it might be something in the way your posture is, and maybe you could prop up a knee or something to balance it out. We can talk about it afterwards if you want. It may actually be something that's kind of unfolding in the meditation. If it's not constant and it just happens every now and then, it may just be something to pay attention to. And we'll talk about paying attention to the body more next week. So that'll start to pay attention to how the body's moving. It sounds like it might be something that's just wanting to flow in the body.
When is the best state of mind to meditate? Is it when you're fully awake, like first thing in the morning, you got up, you slept well? Or is it toward the end of the day when you're kind of tired? And, you know, is there any good time to start?
Well, I can say quite a bit about this. So any time is a good time to meditate. there perhaps are more optimal times in terms of being awake. But that's, again, something to experiment with through the day. So what I'd recommend is to pick a time in the day. Whatever works for your day, actually, is a good time. A lot of people find they have trouble even finding a period to sit down. So if you can find a period to sit down right after lunch, it doesn't really matter that the mind is kind of busy. That's when you can find the time, so do it then. A lot of people do find that sitting when they first get up in the morning is a really wonderful time to sit because the mind is not quite engaged in all of its stories and activities and momentum. So it's a really nice time to sit down and focus. It tends to be a little bit easier for a lot of people to meditate in the morning. But there are advantages also to meditating at the end of the day. You get to really see the momentum of your mind more at the end of the day. What's been happening for you? The one thing I would like to suggest is that you pick a time of the day to sit and stick to that time for a while. It may seem like some days you're tired and you don't want to sit, or some days you're really energized and you do want to sit, or some days you're really energized and you want to run around instead of sitting. See if you can commit to that time and just sit in that time and see what happens. There's going to be a whole variety of mind states and moods and tiredness and activity that happen over the course of the weeks and months that you practice. So it's Sharon Salzberg tells a story that she, when she was in India, she found that there were some times when she sat down and she was just right there and it was very easy to meditate. Other times she sat down and she noticed her mind was just wandering all over the place and she figured, oh, I can't meditate right now. So she'd get up and she wouldn't meditate. And after a while, she described this pattern to her teacher. And he said, just put your body there. Just put your body in that place. And if your mind is wandering all over the place and you don't feel like you can pay attention, that's what's happening. It doesn't really matter that you can't pay attention. Just put your body there and see what happens. So that's one of the pieces of advice with respect to choosing a time. Just, you know, pick a time and just put your body there for a while. Another thing I'd like to say, just if you haven't meditated before, you might try starting with about 15 to 20 minutes a day. And it's really helpful in this class if you do try to sit every day, if you manage to sit every day during the course of these 5 weeks. I think you'll see a lot of the benefits of the practice unfolding if you manage to do that. So if you can pick a time to sit and start with 15 or 20 minutes a day, that's usually an amount of time that most people feel they can manage. But sometimes it feels like you're so busy you can't even manage that. You can't even manage that 15 minutes in a day. And what I'd like to recommend is something that James Perez, another teacher at Spirit Rock, recommends. And he did this for a period when he felt like he was so busy. At the end of the day, if he had not managed to sit down for his allotted time period, he just put himself in the posture, put himself in the meditation posture, and then if he needed to, he got up and went on with the activities that he needed to do. So a lot of us actually find that getting ourselves on the cushion is really the hard part. Once we actually sit here and take one breath, oh, that feels pretty good. You know, it can tend to reinforce itself. But if you can't commit to 15 minutes, see if you can commit to putting yourself in the posture once a day and see what happens if you do that.
I find that I frequently get a lot of upper back pain later.
So I'll say a couple more things. Meditation is a skill. It's not something that we're really born knowing how to do, innately knowing how to meditate or to pay attention for extended periods of time. So it's a skill. It needs to be learned. It needs to be cultivated. And it's kind of like learning to play a piano. I mean, if you haven't ever played a piano before, there's a whole process you need to go through. I mean, if you maybe haven't even learned how to read music, so you need to learn what the music is. You need to know what the notes represent and what they represent on the piano. And then you need to start connecting the notes to the piano, and you need to learn how to press and to finger, and then to learn how to use the pedal, and to make the rhythm, the flow of the piano. And all of this takes practice. If you sit down one day and try to learn how to read the notes and connect it to the piano keys, and then wait a month before trying again, it's going to take you a really long time to learn how to play the piano. And likewise with meditation, it really helps to continue the practice, to keep trying to cultivate it. It doesn't feel often like we're making much progress, and it's hard actually to measure our own progress. But simply sitting down every day is so helpful in that basic cultivating a skill. And to start to simply come back to the breathing over and over again. That's going to do two things for us. It's going to help cut the momentum of the mind, you know, the habits, the habitual patterns of the mind, and it will cultivate concentration. The act of coming back to the breathing is a sort of a concentration practice to focus the attention and let go of other things. It can be used for meditation, for mindfulness and concentration, the practice of the breathing. And I'll talk a little bit more about that next week. Meditation can be very humbling. We really get to see what the mind does. It's best not to take your thoughts too seriously. You know, you're going to sit down and the mind's going to throw up all kinds of thoughts like, I can't do this. I don't know how to meditate. I'm the worst meditator. This is the perfect time to clean the refrigerator. You know, the mind will do that kind of thing. And it's best not to take those thoughts too seriously while you're meditating. So if you can, just let go and come back. A lot of times the mind doesn't particularly want to be present. It'll convince you that it is the best time to clean the garage or to clean the refrigerator, that you actually need to get up and do that. It's very, very tricky. It will try to throw you off. It's like the mind has an investment in its habits, and it doesn't particularly like being corralled. So bring some kindness to how hard it is. Just notice, oh yeah, okay, there's that wandering mind. It's just the way it is. And just let go and come back to the breathing. So I'll just review the instructions briefly. And then we'll do another guided meditation, unless there's more questions. So the basic instructions for this week that I'd like you to do is to pay attention to the sensations of breathing. So find the place, as I suggested, through where in the body the sensations are the strongest, and let your attention rest there. So if it's in the abdomen, just let your attention rest with the sensations that you feel as the abdomen rises and falls. Or maybe in the chest. Just let your attention rest with the sensations of the expansion and contraction of the chest. Or in the nostrils, the coolness and the warmth as the breath goes in and out of the nostrils. Pick a place where the breathing is pretty obvious and just let your attention rest there. That can be your anchor for your attention. And if you find the mind wandering, acknowledge that it's wandering, that moment of noticing, oh yes, okay, I'm not with the breath. That's an acknowledgement. Thinking. And then if it's possible, see if you can let go of that and return to the sensations of breathing where you had chosen to pay attention. So simply come back over and over and over and over again. There's one meditation instruction. I think it's from the Christian tradition. And it says, bring the mind to the point quite gently. And when it wanders, just bring it back to the point. If you do no more than that 1,000 times in the course of the hour, your hour will have been well spent. So just bring the attention back over and over and over again. I mentioned the idea about using a mental label to help the mind stay present, a very quiet note in the mind. In, out, to help the mind stay present. It's very helpful. It can be a little awkward. It can feel a little awkward at times, but experiment with it and see how that works for you. So this week, see if you can stay with the breathing, and if anything else occurs that seems strong, see if you can let it go and bring your attention back to the breathing. So are there any questions? Any more questions or comments? Yeah.
Does it matter whether you breathe through your nose or your mouth or both?
Whatever is most comfortable for you. I mean, if you have some blockage in your nose, certainly breathe through your mouth. A lot of people find that breathing through the nose is most helpful because when your mouth is open, it dries out. The mouth gets very dry and it can get kind of uncomfortable. But often people find, if they've got a slight cold or some allergies, that you can't quite get enough air through the nose. So by all means, whatever you need to do. Anything else? Yeah.
I've been taught in another form of meditation not to meditate during the first 4 days of menstruating. As you put it in this form, it makes no difference.
No. No, in this practice, we're simply paying attention to what's happening. So if there's something about the first 4 days of menstruation that perhaps, makes it difficult to concentrate or something, I don't know what the theory behind that would be.
I think it was because of bringing the energy up.
I see. Well, in this case, you would just notice a lower energy level. So there's no suggestions about that at all, really. It's just paying attention to what's happening. You may notice some differences during different periods of the cycle of how the breathing feels, of how your body feels, but it's simply just to be noticed.
Mm-hmm. I find that frequently, towards like the second half of the sitting or something like that, I'll get this sense of, am I done yet? and I'll have a compulsion to look at the time. And frequently I do. I haven't quite come to grips with what that's all about.
Well, the thing to do, and this is jumping a little ahead, but see if you can pay attention to the wanting to look at the clock. What does it feel like to want to look at that clock? How does your body react? What's the mind doing? I mean, it's probably spinning stories or something about what you're going to do when you're finished or something. But pay attention to that wanting. Just paying attention to the wanting may help you see what is kind of motivating it. You'll just start to understand the whole framework of the wanting if you simply pay attention to that wanting. But we'll talk about that more in 2 more weeks. Yeah.
What's the difference between meditation and pranayama?
I'm sorry?
What's the difference between meditation and pranayama?
Pranayama? Is that the breathing practice? Yogic breathing?
Mm-hmm.
So in this practice, I think in the pranayama there's an intentional breathing. You control the breathing. You breathe in, you breathe out. There's an awareness of it, but it's controlled. In this practice, we don't try to control the breathing. We simply let the breathing be as it is and pay attention to it. At times, it'll be long and deep and even. At other times, it may be short and agitated. We'll probably start to see the connection between emotional states and what the breath feels like. You know, at times, if we're agitated, the breath may be short or rough. And if we're calm, the breath may be long and peaceful. So in this practice, we simply try to notice what the breath is doing as opposed to control it.
Mm-hmm. Since we're doing comparisons, Burmese, this, and Vietnamese Thich Nhat Hanh style mindfulness meditation, any difference?
You know, I'm not so familiar with Thich Nhat Hanh's teaching in terms of his instructions.
Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Really complicated.
Well, I don't know what his instructions are. If you find something not, there are a variety of schools of mindfulness that basically are a concentration on the breath, and that may be what he teaches. I'm not positive. I know that he teaches a very integrated practice with daily life, paying attention in daily life. On the cushion, there may be the difference that once we've developed a skill or facility with paying attention, in this particular practice, we don't anchor, we don't force ourselves to stay anchored on the breath. If a pain arises, we let ourselves pay attention to the pain. If an emotion arises, we let ourselves pay attention to the emotion. The idea is to stay present for whatever the most predominant thing in our experience is, and to not prefer necessarily any one object. But to start, the instructions are definitely to bring ourselves back to the breath. It's very helpful for cultivating a training of the mind. If I were to just tell you, sit down, close your eyes, and pay attention to whatever's happening, it's very difficult. The mind just can't seem to figure out what to focus on. And so we start by cultivating this anchor of attention on the breath. And then as things arise that are stronger than the breath, we let go and attend to those things. And when they fade or become not so compelling, we come back to the breath. And this is all more about what I'll talk about in the coming weeks. So that may be part of the difference. I don't know if he suggests just letting go of everything and just always coming back to the breath or not. So there may not be a lot of difference. One of the main keys with the Mahasi practice is this noting. The Burmese practice is this, the noting of what's happening while it's happening. Yeah. Yeah, East West is one of the places. I think there's someplace on California Avenue. I think there's a yoga store on California Avenue in Palo Alto.
Avalon.
And those are the two local places I know of. There are also, you can search on the internet, and there are a lot of places you can buy things on the internet. But it is helpful. You might want to experiment with the cushions here for a while and find one that works for you just before you invest, because these things they're kind of expensive. You know, they're about $50 each. And you can try a bench. You know, we have most of the different varieties of things here. So you might want to experiment for a while or borrow somebody's for a while before you go and buy one. The Zabutans, do they sell the Zabutans at Avalon? Do you know? Does anybody know? The Zabutans they sell at East West tend to be really thick. I tend to like them a little thinner, and I don't know actually where to find those except online. So why don't we end with a very short meditation. So start by settling into your posture, taking an alert, upright but relaxed posture, and gently close your eyes. And take a couple of long, slow, deep breaths, connecting to the body on the in-breath and letting go on the out-breath. And let your breathing return to normal. And bring your attention to the body as a whole. The uprightness of the body, the feeling of the butt on the cushion or the chair. The hands on the knees or touching each other. And now bring your attention to whatever sensations tell you that you're breathing. Let your attention rest with those sensations. So I'd like to suggest two exercises for the week. First, see if you can sit each day for about 15 minutes. And if you feel like that's too much, then try the just committing yourself to sitting in the posture each day. And the second thing I'd like to suggest is to pick an activity, a fairly simple activity that you do every day, like brushing your teeth or eating breakfast. And just pay attention, even for just like the first minute or two of that activity. What's happening in the body? What's the posture like? Are you tensing yourself? Just very simple attention to the body and the posture during that activity. So thank you all for coming. I appreciate your attention and your participation. And I have some handouts here that cover what I talked about tonight. So if you'd like to take one of these, you're welcome to that. Thank you.